I'm Tony Hendra.
And I'm Jeff Kreisler.
And this is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
30 minutes of sizzling satire with teeth.
Hey kids, have you heard about the ramp?
Did you say the ramp?
Hey, somebody's got the ramp!
It's the latest fun time plaything with a mighty physical challenge for obese kids like you.
Yay!
The ramp has a crazy 12-foot climb up an amazing 15-degree incline.
Whoa, the ramp is intense.
Kids can run up the ramp, or walk up, or walk halfway up, run out of breath, and roll back down.
I'm almost at the top.
Half of my face is numb.
Todd's having a stroke!
Not everyone can handle the ramp, but once you get to the top, you can say,
I don't want to play with this anymore. It's too hard.
Come on, everybody. Get on the ramp!
Earlier this week, the Koch brothers, the billionaires behind Koch Industries, numerous conservative causes, and all things terrible, issued a letter to all of their employees encouraging them to vote Romney. While there has been much speculation about the content of the letter, the Final Edition has uncovered the dictation of the letter itself and would like to allow you, the listener, to make your own judgments. Hear now, Charles Koch.
Greetings all serfs, laborers, and double-digit percenters, blah, 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 blah. Charles Koch here, or Charlie T. Moneybags, as I'm known around the water cooler. Just kidding, I'm never around the water cooler. Anyway, as I'm sure even common folk know, there is an election coming up. Now, despite what you may hear from nearly every major news outlet in the world, we don't care who you vote for. But, that being said, if that socialist commie Obama gets reelected, well, unfortunately, there will be consequences. Number one, bye-bye holiday bonus. If Obama gets a second term, you better not rush to install that in-ground pool and be inviting Cousin Eddie over anytime soon. The money designated for holiday bonuses will be immediately funneled into a fund for a 2016 Santorum Aiken campaign. We've already invested in, you want a definition of legitimate rape, just look at my tax return t-shirts, which, by the way, are for sale to any interested employees at a very fair Romney-esque price of $200. Numero two, shorter work weeks. As we've made clear multiple times, Obamacare infringes on Americans' right to choose. Specifically, it infringes on our right to choose between providing adequate health care or getting another couple of yachts. If Obama gets reelected, we'll have many fundraisers to host, which will, of course, require more yachts. So, look forward to a 29.5-hour work week so we can capitalize on that 30 hours a week loophole. If you're thinking Obama is to blame for my shorter work week, less take-home pay, and giant tumor, you'd be absolutely right. And point trois, higher gas prices. Romney Ryan have a plan to cut taxes by 20% while eliminating all of our debt, continue to encourage offshoring of jobs while making our unemployment rate negative 10%, and giving out free cars to Tea Party members with all the money they'll be saving cutting Big Bird's funding. We have reason to believe they will achieve all these goals by 2013 if elected, despite what basic arithmetic or any other liberal propaganda has to say regarding the matter. Obama, on the other hand, plans to raise taxes because Joe Biden rides Amtrak, which, by the way, has no free Wi-Fi, so you wouldn't even be able to post pictures to Facebook that we'll have to remove when we log on to your personal accounts. Look, here at Koch, we value your hard work. And let me tell you, my brother and I know a lot about hard work. Our dad told us all about it. You need to ask yourself, what do I want for my future? Because while some people say we need to get the money out of politics, We say it's about time we get the politics out of our money. War is peace, Charlie T. Moneybags.
This fall, a new sitcom set in Milwaukee about two wacky people and the governor they own. Get ready for Charles and David.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Schlemiel, Schlemazel, Coke Industries Incorporated.
Give us any fact, we'll fake it. Give us any law, we'll break it. We're gonna make our extremes come true. Doing it Coke way, not as climate change deniers. We're right-wing nut suppliers. We're gonna make our memes come true. Doing it Coke way, there's no one we won't buy. Walker, Christie, even Herman Cain this time. There's no Coke blocking us. We make our own truth.
We've got the front groups.
We come off like all shuckers, but we're too rich Coke suckers. We're gonna buy all your dreams, that's true. And we'll do it Coke way. Yes, Coke way. Turn government into a joke. We'll do it Coke way. Yes, Coke way. Make the whole country go broke for Coke and Coke.
This fall, Charles and David, two kooky billionaires, try to make it on their own to Wisconsin. It's a tea party of fun. Check listings. Local crimes may vary.
You're listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Welcome to the Final Edition Election Night coverage. We'll be with you all night with our entire news staff waiting to report on anything whatsoever.
We'll wait for returns, analyze the returns we don't have, and speculate wildly on election results that are just going to happen the way they're going to happen no matter what we do or say.
Let's head over to Dan Jatico at Romney headquarters. Dan, what's it look like over there?
Carol, Governor Romney is still campaigning, even at this late hour. Right now, he's going around demanding that President Obama apologize for something or other.
What a tireless candidate.
Since nothing is happening, let me ask you a hypothetical question. If Governor Romney lost, how do you think he'd react?
He would probably be disappointed.
Do you think he would cut himself?
It could be.
Another hypothetical. Do you think Superman could ever get cancer?
Sorry to interrupt, but we've got to check in with Jane Cooper at President Obama's headquarters. Jane, is there any news?
No. Everyone is standing around looking at each other, waiting, waiting. And there it is! Vice President Joe Biden just made a racist joke about Norway.
Whoa, we haven't been at war with them in a while.
Not since the Vikings. Thanks, Jane. Now, let's go 250 miles above Earth's surface to our correspondent, Luther Robinson, in the International Space Station. Luther, what do you see from up there?
The Earth looks blue and far away.
Thanks, Luther. We also have correspondent Will Chandler at the Ron Paul headquarters. Will?
The Ron Paul headquarters is holding its own Ron Paul presidential election, in which the only candidate is Ron Paul.
Are there any results so far?
Yes, as usual, Ron Paul is getting about 10% of the vote.
Sorry to cut you off, Will, but we just got word the Board of Elections in Kenosha, Wisconsin has counted one vote. And it's for Mitt Romney.
And Fox News is calling the election for Romney.
Let's head back to the International Space Station. Luther, what's your take?
From up here, your election seems pointless and insignificant.
Interesting. Now to Madame Sherry Lacroix, who's going to tell my fortune for $5. Madame Sherry, who will win Pennsylvania, and will I ever have children?
I see someone from the lands beyond. Do you know anyone who recently passed away whose name begins with L or W?
Grandma?
Gotta break in, guys. This is Jane back at Obama headquarters, and the president is now speaking.
Oh, is it a concession speech or a victory speech?
Neither. He's just talking about stuff.
No, I don't think the crab dip is vegetarian. I think it contains crab.
This is Dan back at Republican headquarters. Governor Romney is demanding that Obama apologize to the seafood industry.
And I just received news that Washburn County, Ohio has counted 10 votes. 9 are for Barack Obama, and 1 is a write-in for Ron Paul.
Fox News is calling Washburn County for Romney.
Now let's check in with Luther in the space station. Luther, how are things in orbit?
We're all drunk, and now we're going to go outside and walk around.
Okay, tell us if you die.
We'll return with 18 more hours of coverage after this.
And now the final edition's finance feature, Money or Die. Global airplane giant Airbus today announced a dramatic new departure in air travel, a modification of its 850-seat megaplane, the A380, called the Airbus A001. Our Stone Peck has the story.
Airlines, strapped by high costs, are looking for profit margins from their globetrotting business and first-class passengers, a.k.a. the 1%. And that's what the Airbus A001 is all about. Airbus's chief of marketing, Henri de Navarre.
To lure the 1%, the filthy rich, we must design first class to be ever more bigger and luxurious. But we feel for the 99%. The coach people, of course, we are a society of fraternité, égalité. The people have the right to fly too. But why must they trudge through the corridors of privilege on the way to the cattle stalls in coach? That is not just. So, the A001 is in two distinct sections with a completely separate entrance for the 99%.
Okay, and how do these two sections lay out?
In front of the wings is a huge class where 100 luxe-deluxe passengers enjoy wonderful amenities. Cabins with lap pools and wood-burning fireplaces, a personal sushi chef, individual champagne fountains, and onboard escort service.
And behind the wings?
Premium class can carry 700 to 1,000 premium passengers, depending on national obesity levels. They sit there in the sleek, minimalist wooden benches designed by Philippe Starck, with just a hint of cushion, plus all-body safety belts with big, bold, bronzy buckles from Christian Lacroix.
And their amenities?
In the event of an emergency, a Neutrogen mask will drop from the panel above you. You place it over your mouth, so, and inhale an organic dietary supplement melange with little squirts of the delicious water of Evian.
So, in premium, no one is allowed to move?
There is no need, and no space. Finally, wealthy Arab and Asian passengers have a way to take wives and female relatives along in accordance with Islamic law. It's fantastic.
To show how the A001 works in practice, Monsieur de Navarre took me on a test flight at Airbus's headquarters in Toulouse, France.
So, the 99% people in back cannot be afforded by the airline without the 1% people in front. So, for once, it is not the Wall Street billionaires stealing blind Main Street thousandaires. Business bails out the people.
How do business class travelers feel about that? Joanna Gattopardo is a software entrepreneur from Cupertino, California.
I spend 85% of my life in the air, always in, you know, the front. The sky-high fares I pay are a form of indirect taxation, but I'm cool with that. As an Obama Democrat, I get a warm, fuzzy feeling knowing that, thanks to me, ordinary folks are enjoying air travel they can't actually afford. It's a model of the economy as a whole.
And you can live with this model.
Sure. So long as I'm not asked to die with it, okay? I mean, say we experience a significant loss of altitude, i.e. the plane hurtles to Earth in an uncontrolled Mach 2 dive filled with screaming, shitting humans. Why should we end up the same charred human burger as the moochers in the back? We're paying the freight. We've earned our freedom. Freedom from fiery death.
Henri, how do you respond to that need?
That is the whole point of A001. We are flying over the Pyrenees at 35,000 feet to the epicenter of a major electric storm. We hope this will provoke a life-threatening mid-flight incident, such as systems failure, a power loss, a pilot dysfunction, rudder loss, exploding fuel tanks. Oh, let's listen to Coach so we can hear their response to this possible catastrophe. The pilot has had an epileptic fit. Excellent. In this event, the A001 is designed to jettison the entire rear half of the aircraft. Listen. The fore section flies safely on. We instantly grow a new tail section, auxiliary engine, and fuel supply. The wing-to-body ratio of our much shorter plane triples its ability to survive adverse weather. Our range of 7,500 kilometers means we will definitely make safe landfall.
What about the 1,000 people in coach?
Massive parachutes have already deployed to lower the abandoned hulk safely to solid ground. Or sea. This takes from 2 to 48 hours. Our cost-risk department calculates that 80% of the equipment can be salvaged, as can most of the premium passengers, except for those stupid enough to unfasten their seatbelts or disobey the recordings.
Fred Gattopardo, how do you feel? Oh, this must be Mrs. Gattopardo.
You really think on a flight like this, I'd be caressing my naked wife's thigh stone? No, this is Maya Lin, my Eurasian net pet. Hey, baby, whip some skull on me.
How do you feel about Airbus's new class system?
A win-win for all concerned. Before, an in-flight incident meant hundreds of gruesome deaths, the loss of a $275 million plane, and crippling liability for the carrier. Now a few folks may get triaged, but liability is manageable, the equipment survives, and most important, so do we. The business class who keeps every major airline flying leaves to fly another day. Meet the future of the global economy. You crash, we fly on. End of story.
This portion of the Final Edition Radio Hour is made possible by a grant from NetPets.
Announcing NetPets, fractional ownership of your very own travel companion. Your leased NetPet will join you on your private jet for as many hours a month as you desire. Always ravishing and medically certified, your NetPet will make those long hauls to Europe and Asia a whole lot shorter. NetPets come in male and female models, or both, for the adventurous. For real savings, we also offer fully reconditioned, pre-owned NetPets. And of course, at the end of any lease, there's always the option to buy. P.S. Billing will appear on your credit card as Jet Snacks Incorporated.
Now, up here on the left, we have the official logo of the Obama campaign, and that's a big O, which, of course, stands for him. And below that, there are several stripes, which indicate the homosexual movement. In other words, the rainbow flag. And below Obama's logo, we have two stripes and three stripes, which look much more like streaks of blood. Now, some people don't like this kind of perversion of the American flag because it is very satanic. Now, first of all, the big O looks like the Illuminati all-seeing eye, which is very similar to the all-seeing eye on your dollar bill. And of course, as my regular subscribers know, the two stripes over three represent the Antichrist. Because 2/3 is the number 0.666. Now, I doubt very much if the designers of this flag really knew what they were doing. I don't think they wanted a satanic flag with satanic imagery, but maybe they consider that perfect for the Obama campaign.
This is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Hey you, NRA scumbag. This here's Christ on the cross, talking to you.
Huh?
Yeah, you, kneeling, praying to me, Jesus, that your old lady will give you a Glock 9 for your birthday. You call yourself a Christian and you carry a fucking gun? To defend yourself? To stand your ground?
Huh.
Bullshit. You want to kill some poor motherfucker, don't you? And get away with it.
Oh.
You know how I ended up on this cross? Because I, Jesus H. Christ, refused to defend myself. Refused to stand my fucking ground.
Huh?
Don't you read your Bible? When the high priest goons came to get me, in the good old Garden of Gethsemane, it's in the fucking Bible. Like you keep saying whenever you're backed into the corner for some argument about gays or abortion, the Bible is the word of God. The Bible cannot fucking lie.
Yeah.
You fucking read it, dude. So, in the Bible, the Garden of Gethsemane, I'm getting busted, right? I tell my posse, put up your swords. Plain English. Holster the fuckers. Peter wasn't supposed to defend me. I didn't want to be defended. I'm the Prince of fucking Peace, huh? I didn't carry a sword, or a knife, or a stick even, let alone a fucking gun. You want to strap a metal dick on your crotch, because you're so fucked up about the size of your own dick, and you can't get it up no more. Now you can just come by fucking pulling a trigger.
No.
Go the fuck ahead, you stupid brain-dead cocksucker. But don't be laying that psychotic bullshit on me.
Oh, you are...
No, don't be calling yourself no fucking Christian.
What?
Me on the cross? What is it about thou shalt not kill? You do not fucking understand. Nope. No. You missed me, asshole. Get the fuck out of here. You're about to have a massive stroke and die and go right down to hell. I don't want to watch your ugly, fat fucking carcass flopping around, that's for sure.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Alright, I gotta go die now and redeem all you murdering motherfuckers.
Always look on the light side of life.
See you in 3 days.
If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you forgot. And that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps. Just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing. And always look on the bright side of life. Come on! Always look on the right side of life. For life is quite absurd, and death's the final word. You must always face the curtain with a bow. Forget about your scene, give the audience a grin. Enjoy it, it's your last chance anyhow.
So always look on the bright side of death. Just before you draw your terminal breath.
Life's a piece of shit when you look at it. Life's a laugh and death's a joke, it's true. You'll see it's all a show. Keep them laughing as you go. Just remember that the last laugh is on you. And
always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the right side of life.
Thank you.
Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the right side of life.
Best things happen to see, you know.
Always look on the right side of life.
What are you going to lose? You know, you've gone from nothing, you're going back to nothing. What are you? Nothing will come from nothing, you know what I say?
Oh,
cheer up, you old bugger.
Right,
give us a grin. There you are. See? The end of the film. Incidentally, this record's available in the foyer.
Always look on the right.
Someone's got to live as well, you know? Who do you think pays for this rubbish?
Always look on the money back, you know?
I told him. I said to him, Bernie, I said, they'll never make that money back.
This episode of the Final Edition Radio Hour was performed by Darby Worley and Tuchel, Barry Lank, John Marshall, Kevin Janis, and Jeff Chrysler. It was written by Barry Lank, John Marshall, Ron Placone, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hendra. Weird YouTube Jesus Obama Guy, courtesy of Scooter from KPFT in Houston, and our comedy classic, Always Look on the Bright Side of Life, written by Eric Idle and performed in Monty Python's Life of Brian. Be sure to visit thefinaledition.com often for more sizzling satire with teeth. The Final Edition Radio Hour was produced by Jeff Chrysler and Tony Hendra and edited and engineered by Greg Russ. The Final Edition Radio Hour is a production of the Final Edition LLC, copyright 2012.